Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Thompson, and this is the ADR Hub podcast series. Today, we have a very special guest. His name is David Smith, and he's with the United States Institute of Peace. And he's going to be talking about today just some of the different things that the Institute is doing, what the Institute is, and the new building. And just, David, how are you?
Nice. Good to see you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. And just very briefly, David is the National Education Outreach Officer, if I said that right, David, and prior to working with the United States Institute of Peace, David did many, many years in different varieties of working in the university level system. Right, David?
Well, I have a kind of an eclectic background a bit, and it may identify a bit with your listeners. I actually started as a divorce mediator. I'm really going back a ways. I was a divorce lawyer, then a divorce mediator. And then I taught at the college university level for about 15 years. I taught both at a community college and a four-year institution, and I taught ADR at the undergraduate level, and I also taught overseas as a Fulbrighter. I taught ADR for a semester in Estonia. So my background has been both as a practitioner and as an academic.
Okay. And now for the listeners that are listening to today's episode that don't want to admit they're not sure what the United States Institute of Peace is, how about you tell us?
Sure. And it's not surprising that Americans and your listeners would not know what the U.S. Institute of Peace is. I spent a lot of my time traveling around the U.S. talking about the Institute, and I get reactions that are very close to, wow, I didn't know we had a U.S. Institute of Peace. And what have you been doing? And was this just came up and made up recently? And I say, no, we've been around for a while. We were established in 1984 by Congress, and we were established to focus exclusively on international conflict and peace building. In a sense, the idea for the Institute actually goes back 200 years. Even George Washington talked about the idea of establishing a peace office that would train diplomats and individuals in negotiating settlements overseas. It wasn't really until the 1970s that there really was a grassroots movement to establish the Institute. And then there was a commission in 1979, the Matsunaga Commission, that was appointed by Jimmy Carter, that made recommendations in the establishment of the Institute, which came into being in 1984.
Okay, and some people might be thinking, and I know I initially thought, well, under whose direction does this fall? Under Secretary of State, directly under the President, Congress? Where's the direction come from?
Well, it's a good question, and I think most people think in terms of the branches of government, and think about the executive branch or think about the legislative branch. We are an independent agency of government. We don't fall into any of those branches of government. We are funded by Congress. But we don't report to the president. We don't report to the Secretary of State. We don't report to the Department of Defense. We have a lot of autonomy and independence in what we do. Our board is appointed by the president, but our board of directors is a very bipartisan board. It represents both Democrats and Republicans who get together to help shape the vision of the Institute.
Okay, and how about just sharing with us, so what are some of the things that the Institute's involved in currently?
Well, the Institute works, as I say, overseas. It works in zones of conflict. We have an office in Kabul. We have an office in Baghdad. We are on the ground doing training, for instance.
We'll train. Conflict resolution training and mediation training?
Well, yeah. Often it's very technical in training people in resolving disputes and the skills of resolving disputes. But sometimes it's a matter of educating people as to the awareness of cultural differences or religious differences. And we do our work in two different ways. Let me make this distinction. We do our work in our own training and when my own colleagues go overseas and do work. But we also grant. We're a grantor. We give away a fourth of our budget every year to NGOs around the world. And those NGOs are doing conflict resolution work around the world in some very high conflict zones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so looking at the website, which, by the way, for our listeners, the website is www.usip.org, and there's a wealth of information there. And one of the things, as you just mentioned, there's a section on it for grants and fellowships, and then also for education and training. So how about for our listeners that are based here within the United States, what good is the United States Institute of Peace for them, or how can they get involved,
sure,
or what can it do for them?
Sure. Well, most of our work, as I say, is overseas. We work in the United States in working through higher education, through secondary education, to promote the teaching of conflict resolution and peace-building activities. where we work more recently is training much more in the United States, training organizations and training entities who are trying to learn about international approaches and working overseas. So we've been doing a lot of that of late.
Okay, and for those that say are interested, whether they're mediators, negotiators, or even say ombudsmen, how do they find out more about these trainings or events that are offered?
Well, if you go to our website, the training entity is called the Academy for International Conflict Management and Peacebuilding. And if you go to www.usip.org, you can learn about that entity and look for training. Now, right now, our training's in Washington, D.C., but eventually the trainings will be online, and it'll be something people can engage in online.
Right. And then one of the things is the website is pretty intense. There's lots of information there, but you also work in a building, so maybe tell us about the brand new building that will be.
For 25 years, we've basically been operating in various office spaces around Washington, and they've often been very hard to find. We're now in the Restaurant Association building, and people come to our building and say, well, the food must be really great. And I said, no, food isn't better anywhere else. But now we're moving to a building just off of the National Mall, across from the Lincoln Memorial, and the building will be occupying the building in March of next year with a national grand opening next September.
Wow, that's really fantastic. And will that be open to the public or?
Yes. The national grand opening will be open to the public. Part of the building will include a global peace building center, and that's designed for Americans, internationals, particularly young people, to come and learn about the work of peace building.
Okay, and now just what is there anything else that you want to add? We still have a few minutes left.
Sure.
Maybe some of the specific work that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my work is familiarizing Americans with the Institute because, as I said, for 25 years we've often worked very quietly in zones of conflict and most Americans don't know who we are. And we're trying to engage American practitioners and professionals in our work. One is, as I say, through our academy. The other is that we have a grants program. We have the ability for people who want to do international work, who want to work zones in conflict, and work in zones of conflict, to apply for grants from the Institute. And if people are interested in applying for grants, they certainly are welcome to contact me at the Institute, and I can help steer them in that direction. But we do other things. We publish, for instance, a lot of we have our own publishing press. We publish a lot of texts in the field of international conflict resolution and peace building that people use. In fact, graduate school, if you've gone through a graduate school program in the United States and you took a course focused on international conflict resolution, the chances are you've used a book that we've published.
Right, yes. And actually, I was just looking at it before our conversation. There's many, many books on there in the bookstore. And there's also something that I wanted to point out that I've been involved in myself through the site is you offer, correct me if I'm wrong, now, two online certificate courses.
Yes, we do.
Which I think are wonderful. And they're free, so maybe just tell us about that.
Right. And those are things people can engage in right away. If you go to our website, and actually if you go to the search menu and you put certificate program, you will find these two online. One is on interfaith conflict resolution, and one is really a basic understanding of international conflict resolution and peacebuilding. And you can take these in 4 hours, maybe. And at the end, you'll get a certificate from the Institute saying you've completed the course. It's actually used in a lot of education environments. I've actually seen community college professors using it. So it's used all up and down the educational spectrum, and practitioners can do it too.
Right. And I've taken both. And the reason why I also mentioned it, I did pass both. So. It's not easy, but it's definitely – it benefited me, and that's why I'm
nice
talking
to hear
about
that.
It. David, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
All right.
And for those that do want to get more information, again, the website is www.usip.org. David, thank you, and I wish you the best.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is the ADR Hub podcast series. Take care.